Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across the state of Wisconsin, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios here on Madison's near west side for Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, and around the state on so many more local terrific civic media radio stations, the Shaw and Waukesha locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, and so many more. And we got Evan on the board. E, how we doing on this Monday afternoon, my friend?
I do declare, I'm feeling good on a Monday.
Yeah, you started with the Southern accent, then you just dropped it.
Was that Southern though? I don't know, man.
I feel like when you do the I do declare, it's what's his name, the chicken from Looney Tunes.
That was pretty rough though. We won't play that back.
What is it? Now I'm gonna.
The rooster.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. It's Loghorn or...
Foghorn Leghorn. Boom.
There we go. Foghorn Leghorn. Thank you. I was like, I knew it was there somehow. I had the letters, but I tossed it around. Well, glad to hear that you're declaring that you're doing all right on a Monday afternoon. Folks, we hope you're doing well in the listening audience as well. If you want to share a tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents, 844-967-2789. We're going to do a little bit of a weekend dumpster dive, as we like to do here on Monday afternoons, coming up in a little bit. We'll dive into that proposal and a news story that we missed. As well as Republicans are floating an idea to address a problem. And it's kind of an interesting solution to a problem that we are facing here in Wisconsin. So we'll get into that as well. If you want to share a tangent with us about any of the Packers, Green Bay Packers draft picks over the weekend, the NFL draft concluding on Saturday. Green Bay loading up on a number of new prospects, had a lot, 4 7-round picks. I thought that was pretty wild. They traded back on the second day in the second and third round to acquire some more late round draft picks. And surprise, surprise, they drafted another quarterback. And it'll be interesting to see if Jordan Love got a phone call or a FaceTime beforehand. We don't know. But if you want to share tangents on those picks as well, 844-967-2789. But kicking off the month of May here at Civic Media, April is now behind us. I don't know if Mother Nature, we're going to have to ask our friend William Walter later this week about what's going on. April showers were supposed to bring the May flowers, but we're still getting rain here on this May. Slightly
cold,
overcast.
Over, yeah, it was chilly.
It's starting to warm up later in the week, but May flowers, you know, that old saying, April showers bring May flowers. So we got that coming up. I've seen plenty of the memes. I'm sure you as well, Evan, have seen the meme of it's going to be May. Justin Timberlake's face likes to get shared around a lot this time of year. And we'll participate in that as well.
He's got
well.
A fine face. He has a nice face.
It's always funny because you think it would get old, and then every April 30th and May 1st, you're like, it's a good one.
That's the beautiful things about meme, you know?
Yeah, they just get
it's
recycled.
An old meme, sir, but it checks out.
Yeah.
They're just solid.
Well, that one stands true no matter what.
Yeah.
It's going to be May. So, but what else May brings here is a couple of different things to commemorate with May Day today, as well as May 1st kicking off the first day of Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. And I always, the fact that we have to take specific months to commemorate things, I think is good and bad. I believe in the belief that Black history shouldn't only be celebrated in February, that Asian American and Pacific Islander heritage shouldn't just be celebrated in May. But this is a relatively newer holiday or month of commemoration that I believe for the Asian American Pacific Islander community, they've been recognizing it for nearly 50 years since the first Asian American Pacific Islander week was signed into commemoration by President Jimmy Carter back in the 1970s. But today, being the first day of this month, I wanted to learn into a little bit more about why we celebrate this heritage in May. And it was a pretty interesting story written up over at NPR talking about the story behind Asian Pacific American heritage and why it's celebrated in May. And Evan, did you know why we celebrate this Heritage Month in May?
Yep. Lay it on me, bud.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting because the legislation annually designated May as Asian Pacific Heritage Month mm-hmm. referenced two key dates, May 7th and May 10th. Any idea, E, on what happened on May 7th or May 10th?
I'm sure I'll be familiar when you tell me.
I didn't know these days, but the fact that they happened 3 days apart from each other, about 2 decades apart from each other, though.
Sure.
May 7th, 1843, marked the first arrival of the first Japanese immigrants to the United States.
Okay.
And May 10th, 1869, or Golden Spike Day, recognized the completion of the first transcontinental railroad in the U.S., which had significant contributions from Chinese workers. Yes, Chinese laborers did make our railroads. They laid the railroads and connected both coasts here in the United States.
The Golden Spike, that puts a wrinkle on my smooth brain. That one I've heard before. I don't know if it was in class or something, but that one
rings a bell.
That rings a bell.
Okay. Well, those two dates happening in May helped commemorate the first week of Asian American Pacific Islander heritage back in the 70s. And then when the full month got signed into legislation, I believe I lost the date here, but for several years now, Jimmy Carter was the first one to sign that. And in 1990, Bill Clinton passed the Asian American Heritage Month. So May becoming the entire month rather than just a week. But pretty interesting dates, along with May Day celebrated here, or International Workers' Day on May 1st, which leads me to my first kind of tangents of the day, E, with it's pretty interesting how many different labor sectors are authorizing strikes, threatening to strike, or attempting to unionize and facing backlash for trying to unionize their workforce.
Blatantly, too. It's kind of amazing how... Yeah,
in violation of national labor laws.
Just brazen. It's yes. Pretty wild.
I believe the outgoing, now gone CEO of Starbucks, Howard Schultz, will be remembered for the union busting that he did as Starbucks is around the nation have been working to unionize in recent years. And that will be part of his legacy, is going to be the crackdown, illegal crackdown, and a lot of the retaliation against labor leaders in these Starbucks. We've got a writer strike that is tonight at, I believe, midnight Pacific time. So we are about 12 hours from now away from a potential for writers to be striking with the Writers Guild of America. Just today, the pilots for U.S. airlines across the airlines.
The airlines generally, they get something done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's history of that as well. And the pilots have officially authorized or going into, I believe the headline broke earlier. I didn't get to see all the details, but Reuters was reporting that American airline pilots authorized a strike mandate. So North American pilots took fresh steps today to make workforce gains, with American Airlines Group pilots backing a strike mandate and Air Canada pilots supporting a merger with a larger union. So we're hearing all about workers' rights all today, and I believe the more and more focus of workers working to unionize and workers' unions advocating for their workers and demanding in this inflation and prices are rising, but there is a lot of economic prosperity going around.
And it's wild seeing two sides of this coin, right? So you have airlines, for example, they have real leverage, you know, a critical aspect of our economy of...
You would think the same when the rail workers were threatening to strike last year, that they had so much leverage that Congress and the Biden administration kneecapped that leverage for concerns of what it would mean for the national and international economies.
That was a sad day. That was a sad day. And then you have Starbucks workers who, I mean, the anti-retaliation laws are so toothless. It's incredible. You just get fired for cause, whatever that cause may be. And they're probably firing you because you were advocating for unionization, but they'll just let you
go. But they just lean on the cause, yeah. It's amazing. And that is one of those at-will employment. It's a detriment for a lot of employees. And it is a risk that workers that are attempting to unionize face in industries like the service industry. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that one as well. We want to take your thoughts on the rise of the labor movement, the resurgence, I would say, not the rise, because labor has been a powerful force in American life for a very long time. And so this resurgence and focus on unionizing and workers using their union, utilizing their union to be able to advocate for themselves in the workplace. I want to hear your thoughts, your tangents on it. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. You can also share your tangents with us on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. But today, International Workers' Day, May Day. It's also the kickoff of Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. So a lot different events and commemorations going on today. Take your phone calls if you've got thoughts on the NFL Packers draft picks over the weekend as well, and a variety of tangents here on Dueling Tangents. Really excited to dive into some of these other dumpster diving proposals as well, Evan. I don't know about you, but I unplugged a little bit for the weekend, so it's nice to see. Oh, how did I miss that one back in on Friday or Saturday before I unplugged? But
I've been the same way though, and it's really since I'm sort of steeped in the political happenings every single day here with Civic Media, I find myself less just glued to it. When I first came on board here, I was...
Well, it's not even just the political happenings. It's just the current events, the news of the day, everything like that.
I try and stay within earshot. If something really crazy happens, it'll sort of seep through and get to me.
Yeah. But for those that may have unplugged as well early on Friday, we're going to go into that dumpster diving segment. We'll take your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. It's 844-96-PARTY. It's officially May. We're celebrating International Workers' Day as well as the kickoff of AAPI Heritage Month. Dueling Tangents will be right back. Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to take us with you on the go, download the Civic Media app wherever apps are downloaded on your smart device, either the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Search Civic Media. It's free to download. You can take us with you. You can jump from station to station and see all of the excellent programming, listen to all the excellent programming we have across the state of Wisconsin. And I guess one that I missed to start, Evan, also kicking off today on May 1st, you can support small businesses with our friends at Dane by Local here in Madison, celebrating the Shop Local Week from May 1st today through May 7th. So you can learn more as well about Dane by Local and all of the terrific buy local movements going on around the state of Wisconsin by tuning in at 11 a.m. on Saturday and Sundays for Let's Get Local, hosted by Jason Hafeman. Terrific program focused on buying local and the power that you can have in supporting small local businesses.
And the consequences of not doing so are so easy to understand. People don't think about it often, but once it happens, it's just so clear. I mean, it's worth keeping alive. It's worth keeping these places up and running.
I was just saying, much more local event than the AAPI Heritage Month and International Workers' Day, May Day today, but another excellent cause kicking off today. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents as we discuss all of the stories you may have missed as well. We're going to do a little bit of a weekend dumpster dive coming up next, but 844-967-2789. You can share your tangents with us. You can be like Jack in Merrimack. Jack, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon?
Well, I just thought I'd point it out. I was a union member all my working life. IBEW, Education Association. I was vice president of the union for some time. For some reason, people have been sold on the concept that unions are bad. I've seen postings online that basically attack unions, saying that, for instance, gee, unions are no good because they've lost their pension plans. They've corrupted. People have taken the money. I haven't seen that with unions. I've certainly seen it with big business, where they had supposedly pension plans, and now the government had to bail those plans out. But one of the things that is a fact, and that is that unions, of course, are responsible for everything from the end of child labor, which Republicans are trying to reinstitute, by the way, all the way to the supposedly 40-hour work week, which many people don't have anymore either because of lack of unionization. And when Reagan took over in 1980, when Reagan became president, there were about a third of workers were in unions, and there were about two-thirds of the American workers were middle class. Now, with the decrease in unionization, I think something like fewer than 10% of people are now in union. We're down to fewer than 50% of us in middle class. The Republicans have succeeded in pretty much destroying the middle class through destruction of unions. That's basically it. And there's been very little enforcement of the labor laws that allow for unionization as well. So that's my rant for the day.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Jack. And on International Workers' Day of all days, tangents and stories and phone calls are always encouraged here on Dueling Tangents. But we appreciate that contribution to today's show, Jack. If you want to be like Jack, 844-967-2789. There has been a concerted former Governor Scott Walker clearly came out to divide and conquer. That was his tactic. Divide and conquer. We saw here in Wisconsin and around the nation a concentrated effort to really reduce the ability for workers to unionize and the power that unions could have in both the political sphere and just advocating on behalf of the workforces. And so the fact that it unions and the fat cat union boss figure that Republicans like former Governor Scott Walker have portrayed that image, Jack, that you referenced is huge, because that's how they were able to divide and conquer. They pitted workers and individuals of the middle class against each other, and because of that, we've seen a number of consequences.
I was just a kid, you know, but when my mom got pissed about stuff, you know, she'd read the newspaper and her face would get red at the insaneness. That's when I knew it was serious.
Yeah.
You know, I never really clocked anything in the political sphere before then, but yeah.
Yeah, the attack on workers' rights through Act 10, through making Wisconsin a right-to-work state, all of those things are concentrated efforts to dilute union power and the power of workers, effectively, in Wisconsin. And we're going to talk a little bit more about one of those things that Jack just touched on as well, coming up in a future tangent here on the show today, because... we have a worker shortage in a lot of different industries, and a Republican idea to address the worker shortage in the service industry may catch you off guard. So I'm going to share a little bit of the details around that, as well as coming up next, we're going to discuss a piece written up over at the Wisconsin State Journal that I missed at the end of last week, and it is my dumpster dive of the week. The state-funded attorneys in Wisconsin are really, and the Governor Tony Evers, calling for increased funds to address the problems that we're seeing for state-funded attorneys and then the delays in Wisconsin's current criminal justice system. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. We'll get into more tangents and your phone calls, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. It's Monday afternoon. Share your tangents with us.
Madness, Luke. What has happened?
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I don't know when. What's happened?
Oh, my goodness.
Folks, welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. That's Evan on the board. You
Blues
can join
Traveler
us.
Has really modernized.
Yeah, have they?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They have. That's
that sounded
okay.
Great.
It's all good, man. It's going to be May. If you want to join us on the phone lines, call or text 844-967-2789. You can also tweet the show at Dueling Tangents. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. It is officially May 1st. It is International Workers Day. It is the kickoff of Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. We're expecting some flowers to sprout out of the ground any second now because those April showers bring in those May flowers. We're hoping for those, and you can share your tangents, 844-967-2789. 2789, but it is a Monday afternoon, and what we like to do is see what you may have missed in the Friday news dump that is the news cycle. They like to, you know, it's not all the reporters' fault. They're working very hard throughout the week, and some very important stories sometimes get filed on a Friday evening or afternoon, and they just get missed. And so there we go. We're going to back up that dumpster, and this is a pretty important one, because as we're talking about how Republican lawmakers here in Wisconsin have had some pretty coordinated efforts to undermine labor and labor unions here in Wisconsin and around the nation for some time now. There's also been a lot of talking points talking about no one wants to work anymore. You hear that time and time again, and it's a very interesting talking point made from a group of politicians, Republican lawmakers, that decided the third month last year, in March, they decided to say, well, yes, we are full-time legislators, but we're going to be done working and legislating for the year in March. And so we've been facing problems here in Wisconsin still, though, even though our lawmakers were sitting on their keisters last year for most of the year, just refusing to legislate because they would have to find some compromise with a governor that doesn't share the same political persuasions as they do. We have a Democratic governor here in Wisconsin, Tony Evers, and a Republican-led legislature. And rather than do the hard things, like finding compromise and bipartisan solutions to address problems Wisconsinites are facing, Republicans just packed up shop and said, yeah, you know what? We're just not going to go to work anymore. We're not going to legislate. We don't want to find that common ground, the compromise. And so, in that time, Wisconsin's problems still haven't been addressed, and it led to the story being written last Friday in my dumpster dive of the week, written up by Alexander Scher over at the Wisconsin State Journal. State-funded attorneys in Wisconsin point to low pay and shortages as Tony Evers calls for more money. Now, it's an interesting way to frame this headline because it acts like Tony Evers is the only political player in this equation, that Tony Evers is the only one that could address solving this crisis that we have of public defenders being kind of MIA here in Wisconsin. And yes, I don't know if I would be attracted to a position as an attorney with low pay and hard hours, because as Alexander Scher's writing over at the State Journal outlines in this anecdote to kick off the story, from October until last week, so for the better part of 6 months, Sheboygan County District Attorney Joel Ermansky was handling the amount of work typically assigned to six prosecutors. That wasn't by choice. Instead, like many other state-funded attorneys in counties across Wisconsin, Ermansky's workload increased because assistant prosecutor positions first advertised months ago remain unfilled. "I've never seen it this bad," Ermansky said in February. "It's just really incredible that we can't find people right now that want to join the profession." And so, yes, Tony Evers named by name in this headline. But the Republican-led legislature, this isn't a new problem. It didn't just kick off last October. We've been having a crisis in public defenders and being able to make sure that the legally mandated requirement of legal representation in our judicial system, to be able to have the ability to be represented by an attorney, has been delayed in many different facets since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. Without knowing what the consequences were of COVID-19, the justice system has slowed down. And that backlog has not been addressed. And for 9 months last year, Republican lawmakers here in Madison just said, we'll get to that problem when we get to that problem. That surplus, that $7 billion surplus now that we have totaled, and that's been increasing throughout several months now. It started out as a $3 billion surplus. Then it was four, then it was five, then $7 billion surplus in the last biennial budget. But Republican lawmakers, they played politics. They said last year, we're going to take our chances. We're going to hope that a Republican comes along, like Tim Michaels or Rebecca Clayfish, and we can cut taxes. We can make Wisconsin a flat tax state with that $7 billion surplus. We can use that surplus to offset the terrible policy consequences of a flat tax here in Wisconsin. And they lost that political gamble. But district attorney's offices, public defender offices around the state of Wisconsin are still suffering because of the crisis that we've been facing for the better part of the last 3 years.
That's nationwide, too, at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's not just Wisconsin. It's not a Wisconsin-specific problem. It is a problem that we are all facing, and there needs to be a concentrated effort, like how Republicans did to kneecap labor unions here in Wisconsin. There needs to be a concentrated effort to be able to address this problem and not just act like it's a back burner issue.
Yeah, and money would... It would help.
Money, increased pay is a way to address this problem. It's not throwing money at the problem.
They don't want the cases.
Yeah. If you need the attorneys that are publicly, legally mandated to represent members of the public, you have to be able to address the working conditions, and a pay shortage and shortcomings in pay is a big factor of that. So this is my dumpster dive of the weekend. I missed this one, but just the quote from Ermansky. "We're in a crisis with public safety. Everyone, when they think about public safety, is appropriately thinking of law enforcement. And we certainly need to have officers that can respond to 911 calls and be there for emergencies. But if there's not enough prosecutors to review cases and appropriately charge them and handle those cases, then we're just creating a glut where officers can respond, but when you're not potentially getting a charge or an outcome, so we need prosecutors." And so Ermansky, the district attorney, assistant district attorney up in Sheboygan County, really outlining the consequences of this being a public safety concern. It is the party that claims to be all for law enforcement, ignoring and abdicating a large responsibility when it comes to addressing the shortage of public defenders here in Wisconsin. Folks, want to share your thoughts, 844-967-2789. Let's head up to Green Bay where we got Steven calling in. Steven, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon?
How is Luke doing today?
I'm doing as good as I can on a Monday afternoon, Steven. How about yourself?
I hear you there. So this is what I got to say. The Republican Party, or should I call it the Hypocrite Party, because that's what they are, is a bunch of hypocrites. They will spew something out of their mouth and then do the exact opposite of what they say. But this is what I got to say. And I don't know if it's been said by anyone for a while, but I think a lot of times as Democratic voters, we think that, okay, the Democratic candidate won, our job's done now. But that's just the start of our job. Being a Democrat today is really a daily job. I find on, my walk to, through the supermarket, I'll be hearing people talk and I'll just, I'll end up talking to them about issues just at the grocery store. And I think more Democrats need to do that. It's not always comfortable, but I think it's necessary because, as you've outlined in this show and so many others, the Republicans are trying to not just tear the state of Wisconsin apart, but this country apart. And they're doing it by turning people against each other. And we really, as Democrats, we're not the big scary monsters that the Republicans say we are. We just want common sense things to happen. And we think that everyone should be treated equally, no matter what color you are or what you believe or who you love. And I don't think a lot of people would be against that thought process if they were really just talked to by someone who believes that.
Yeah, Stephen. Having a civil conversation and being able to communicate with others about your shared values, it is absolutely a 24/7 job. And democracy is not a spectator sport, as Tom Hartman likes to say on a daily basis. You got to be involved. You got to be engaged. And we appreciate your contribution on this Monday afternoon, Stephen. Up next, we got Dick here in Madison. Dick, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon?
I couldn't say it any better than that. A caller a while back, I missed who it was, hit it out of the park with his talking about the guy, what's the demise of the unions, or tried to be, Ronald Reagan. Here's a guy, and proof positive is, who does Scott Walker think the world of? Yeah, Ronald Reagan.
The Gipper.
I mean, this guy, the Gipper. My grandfather told you this story about how when he ran and thought about running in 1976, I'm over to his house, and he got a Newsweek magazine, and he was on the cover, and he says, there's your next president. And I said, come on, Grandpa, that's crazy. He goes, no, this country's just nuts enough to elect a movie star president. And I laughed at him. Well, he died at 92 in 1978, so thankfully he didn't have to see Ronald Reagan become president, because he was the start of it. And a shout-out to his union, Ironworkers Local 383.
Yeah.
He was an instrumental person who started it in the 20s and worked, was lucky enough. He said, I was fortunate during the Depression. I stayed busy right here in Madison, building iconic buildings like the Field House, Capitol Theater, Orpheum Theater, and on and on. He worked until the early 60s. But the caller who called out Reagan, that was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And the amount of graph stick that you can see when you pinpoint 1980, 1981, when the downfall of a lot of these different things, of numbers of statistics, gauging the middle class, the earned income, and just across the board, the devastating impact that Reagan had on a ton of different economic factors, a very, very fascinating case study when you look at the dates of when things started to trend downwards. We appreciate the phone call, Dick. You can be like Dick, and you can be like Stephen. 844-967-2789. You can share a tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents this Monday afternoon. You can call, text, or send us a tweet at Dueling Tangents. And the interesting, you know, talking about how some individuals want to address these problems. Say the worker shortage in district attorneys, the worker shortage that we're seeing in the service industry. Alexander Scher, again, political reporter over at the Wisconsin State Journal, sharing out this today of a Wisconsin GOP proposal that would have 14-year-olds be able to serve alcohol to customers not seated at a bar, but down from the current age of 18. So if you're not sitting at the bar, but you're sitting at a table, 14-year-olds can then bring you alcohol. Because this is what will, Evan, address the workforce shortage. You know, as Jack from Merrimack pointed out, child labor coming back as a resurgence to addressing these economic woes. It's not, don't embolden unions. Don't allow workers to organize and advocate for themselves. And through a union, we just need more child labor. That is the solution to addressing these problems.
In a meat plant,
Yeah, meat plants, but this one here in Wisconsin. Goodness. The measure would allow Wisconsin to have the youngest alcohol servers nationwide, according to the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. Currently, West Virginia allows 16-year-olds to serve alcohol. Maine allows 17-year-olds. Everywhere else, you have to be 18, 19, or 21. So, Wisconsin GOP lawmakers, you know, addressing the concerns that we have here as Wisconsinites, taking down the alcohol servers from 18 to 14. As long as they're not sitting at the bar. They got to be sitting at a table or a booth or somewhere else in the restaurant, in the establishment. But that is what we've got from the GOP caucus here in Wisconsin's capital, proposing to reduce those child laws. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. We got one more segment in this Monday afternoon. Going to get to some more headlines and your thoughts. 844-967-2789.
That's my car.
Up on the mountain, caught on the rail line. Up on the mountain, caught on the rail line. My brotherly daughter.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent with us in this final segment of the show today, 844-967-2789. Commemorating the kickoff of the month of May here in 2023, International Workers' Day, the start of Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. Having fun with the NSYNC memes, you know, coming back unexpectedly throughout the show, but that's okay. and your thoughts on this Monday afternoon, 844-967-2789. Ev, who do we got here on the phone line?
We got Joe.
We got Joe here in Madison. All right, Joe. How are we doing on this Monday afternoon, Joe?
I got a bit of a barking dog. I'll walk into the next room. I can't thank you enough for Postal Carrier. You know how that is. You got to be strong and barky. Can't thank you enough for this particular show on May Day, and I think it's so important that all of us raise a glass for the workers of this country, the people who make this country happen, and for the unions that protect the workers. I think it's easy to forget how important those unions were. I believe it was Dick in the previous segment spoke about his grandfather being involved in unions. I too had a grandfather who was involved in the formation of unions here in the state. His was Greyhound. And I had a father who was working construction who remembers when the 40-hour work week came in from Franklin Delano Roosevelt and what a big deal that was, that he no longer had to work on Saturday from 7 to noon on Saturdays. That no longer was a requirement because a 40-hour work week came in because of the pressure of the unions. People have died for what unions have given us. People have died for the 8-hour workday. People have died over the battles over child labor. And I think to have this Republican legislature that hasn't worked, that has, as you said, sat on their keister when there are so many important problems to be solved. The one that you brought up that is really ringing home for me is this one about the assistant ADs not having enough of them in order to prosecute the cases that come up. Yeah, it's an issue of safety. The work that people do, it comes down to safety. And it's like giving somebody a lawnmower without any gasoline in it and say, well, yeah, cut the lawn. Yeah, this is... it's just embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing what the Republicans have done, and I hope that people recognize this and remember when we come to voting time, and you know, in terms of participating and remembering what unions brought us and what these Republicans have not. This problem needs to be solved, and you don't just say, okay, we're done for the season, see you, bye. Good luck to all you district attorneys trying to make these cases work. Thank you so much for bringing it up, and it's not a dumpster dive. It is critical, absolutely wonderful that you brought this up, and I can't thank you enough. Thanks a lot, you
absolutely,
guys.
Absolutely, Joe. Hey, that's just what I named this segment, because I like – sometimes there are some Friday news dumps, and you got to go diving for them, but this one was – pretty close to the top of the inbox, so I didn't have to dive very far, but it was, and I would like to issue a correction. I did say assistant district attorney earlier. Joel Ermansky is the Sheboygan County district attorney, not the assistant district attorney. But yeah, I cannot imagine who this district attorney from October until last week working the amount of jobs typically assigned to six prosecutors. Can you imagine doing that much work and then at the same time having your legislator, the body that is designed to represent Wisconsin and be able to come up with laws to address the problems we face, they just not actually do any work since the beginning of March. They did not do any legislation. This is a growing problem, but it was still a problem in March of 2022. And Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu refused to actually come into legislative session and address this problem. And appreciate your phone call, Joe. And we appreciate you shouting us out for talking about it, because we do think it's important. And it is a conversation we're going to continue to have here on Dueling Tangents. We want to take your thoughts and tangents here on this Monday afternoon, though. You can share them. 844-967-2789. Next up, we got Wisco Paul calling in. Wisco, what's on your mind today?
Thanks for taking my call. Great call, Joel. I also grew up in a union family, and the Republicans are just lazy. That's all I can say. They wouldn't make it in a union. So thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, Wisco. Appreciate it. I'm sure that some of these individuals, there's plenty of members of the actually, I guess I don't know what the makeup of the Republican caucus in the state legislature. I'm not truly aware of the numbers that they make up of, if any of them have been a part of unions. So I won't make any guesses on whether or not any of them have been in unions. But it is absolutely a fabric of Wisconsin life for a lot of Wisconsinites to either be in a union or come from a family a part of labor unions. And it is absolutely something that we're talking about here on May Day, International Workers' Day, on May 1st. And all of the other tangents that we got one more phone caller we're going to try to squeeze in this hour. We got Tom from West Allis. Tom, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon?
Hi there. I'll try to make this quick. What really needs to happen is that anyone running against any of these senators, what have you, all the Democrats need to scream from the rooftops on how these people just sat and did nothing. And the perfect phrase is, I will work for you, because obviously they won't.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good phrase. I think the important thing is, Tom, is there's been quite a few people discussing that over the last 16 months, and it happened in 2022 as well. This isn't 2022 was not a 2020 also, I guess, because that gets confusing, because both in 2020 and in 2022, Republican lawmakers facing a different political party in the governor's office, not having a Republican ally, and then it was former Governor Scott Walker, and having to try to come up with compromise with Governor Tony Evers, Democratic Governor Tony Evers, rather than do the hard work of finding that compromise, they just closed up shop. They said, we don't want to. And so it has been discussed, it has been covered, but it's important that when we're discussing these growing problems, like a worker shortage in district attorney offices around the state, that it is portrayed in the media coverage, the news coverage of it as well, that way. And I hope that there is a solution and that there are some ideas to tackle this problem. The biannual budget process is something that we're going to follow closely here at Dueling Tangents. We're going to keep talking about what recommendations are coming out of the governor's office and the Republican-led legislature and their joint finance committee. But it's really telling that Republican lawmakers are acting like they're advocating in the best interests of Wisconsinites, when for 9 months last year, they said, well, we're not going to legislate. We'll get back to that later. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of this show here on May Day, you can check out the podcast. Head over to civicmedia.us, click on Dueling Tangents. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to you all then.
Up on the mountain, caught on the rail line.